Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, the podcast that connects you with the happenings, trends and opportunities in the agricultural sector. My name is Sharon Idahosa and I am your host. Now, we started as a podcast network in 2021, and in 2022, we blossomed into a full-blown public relations and communications firm just to cater to agricultural businesses globally. Now, why am I telling you this? Mainly because this is a good time to build your agriculture business. So for more information, quickly visit letstalkagriculture.com or send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. Once again, welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. In this episode, we will be tackling the impact of currency fluctuations on farmers. And I'm really excited to, you know, get started with this episode because we have an amazing personality joining us today to share his experience and how he is navigating the currency fluctuation here in Nigeria. So guys, join me welcome Jerry Toby, an entrepreneur and farmer playing a major role in driving the agricultural sector forward. Hello, Jerry. Thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
Hi, Sharon. Thank you very much. Hi, beautiful people. Thank you very much for inviting me. How are you doing?
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. I mean, you can actually take my word. I mean, they are beautiful people, so I permit you to use my word. So tell us, how do you see the whole currency fluctuation saga? What has been your experience since we started experiencing the drastic increase in FX, in dollar price and the rest? Has this somewhat affected your ability to make purchases in terms of inputs, commodities, considering your role as a value chain player?
Yeah, so I'll start with this. I think I'll be talking as a farmer and also be talking as a value chain professional and also a value chain player. Basically, from the beginning of last year, it's been a very roller coaster year for us, right? From February 2023 down to this February 2024. The currency fluctuation has really affected production, affected farming in a very, very great way. We've seen the change in dollars. We've seen the change in cost of inputs. I can tell you, for instance, prices of fertilizer has gone rapidly, even above about 50%, and it's been crazy. The cost of chemicals, agrochemicals, has increased rapidly, like from about 40 to 50% also. Because even I can even say up to 100%, because I know one of the chemicals we use increased, doubled in the price, and it really, 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 really weighed on our EOP, our cost of production, really, really affected us. Even as we speak now, getting for the dry season, during the November, December production, that's for the dry season, cost of production went up again, and people were all claiming to be dollar inflated, because Nigeria doesn't produce any of these chemicals. Nigeria doesn't produce any of this fertilizer. Even though they tell you that they're producing it here, they are just buying all the inputs meant for the production and mixing it here in Nigeria and packaging it here in Nigeria. Most of the inputs that's used for those chemicals is really, really, and it's affected us seriously, affected us even with the other political issue. Last year was an election year. It was a very, 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 very not good year, not too good year for us. I can tell you it was not just too good for us.
Thank you for just sharing your opinion about all of this. I am just wondering if all of the packaging, mixing that you're talking about is being done in Nigeria, so why are we still talking about increase in the price of inputs when it is done here in Nigeria? I mean, we can't really say that the Forex or the increase in dollar and decline in naira is affecting the whole process. So why do you think this is really happening? Because most of them, they have these inputs in their stores for like over a year, some months. But then again, because of this, I still feel like they are taking advantage of it. But what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so I will talk from two ends, and I think this podcast will be a very, very good clarification to understand that we have taken the agriculture as agribusiness. I'll clarify that later. But in the aspect of this is a business. People, especially people that import, so see someone that blend fertilizer. We call it the fertilizer blending factory. They import nitrogen, some of them import phosphorus, importing it, it's dollar. Now, when they import this stuff, they get it at maybe at cost X. Let us use, for example, they get it at 50 at dollar to naira at 500 or maybe say at 700. Now they want to buy the next input. They are not able to get maybe dollar is not selling at 1.5, which is triple the price. You don't expect them to sell what they have on ground because A, if they sell what they have on ground at the price of which they produce, they won't have the purchasing power to go again to get that product at the quantity they want. So imagine a fertilizer blending machine got a product at 500,000 naira, and now dollar is at and it sells the product maybe at 600,000 naira, and now dollar is at almost something that cost of production will go up to like 800,000 naira. He can't come, he can't, because he has 600 naira in his hand, he can't buy that product again. So he has to reduce his purchasing power. So that's why you see many business people doing business. That is the normal business language. They do this business, they get this product, this commodity that is on ground, they put a price above it, and they say, oh, to be able to meet with the market forces or the market prices, and they'll be able to sell it. And so they'll be able to buy more. And it's all done in on the farm. And that's why you see a number of people also talking about commodity on ground, people putting prices on commodities. Say farmer, if I a market woman buying rice at 60,000 naira, and in the same store, she hears that, oh, prices has increased again. She doubles the price. With the same goods she bought at just 50,000 naira, she's selling that 80,000 naira because she knows that when she comes back again to the factory, she'll be selling that commodity at almost buying the commodity at almost 80,000 naira. So it's about meeting the demand. And I think that's the reason why they are doing it. It's not good. Some people are not conscientious about that. Some people are just using that principle to sway people, which is not good at an end. And I think it's the point of where governments can come as an intervention point and intervene in this kind of situation.
Okay, thank you for sharing, really. But then again, I still feel that it would be a lot more better or save us all of the stress if we probably decide to reduce the capacity in which they produce. I mean, you're the fertilizer blender, just like you mentioned. I mean, if you have to reduce the quantity or the demand, I mean, it would be a lot better. So it's better for you to tell people this is what I can do or this is what I could do because of the whole issue than for you to be increasing the price. I mean, this is just me thinking out loud and really just saying it because honestly, it's better to tell people I don't have it or this is the quantity I can make because the price is high.
So let me tell you the adverse effect of what you're saying. Imagine, and that's a very, and I think that's an agreement for another day. Looking at it, that if they tell you that, oh, before I can produce 10 tons of chemicals, and now because price has gone, I'm reducing my production to 5 tons. It's now the principle of economics will come there now. The principle of economics will still happen. The principle of the supply is higher, the demand is higher than supply, which increase the prices again. That's the principle of economics will come in because when the demand is higher than the supply, the prices goes high. Which I think is even a worst case scenario because they will look at it, hey, today. People look at it, people need these goods and we don't have much. We put the price even higher than this thing, not even looking at the economics of anything. We are doing it emotionally because of what the demand of the market is. So For me, I just think for this situation, you don't blame the businessman. The businessman is here to make profit in respective of the situation. And the farmer there also puts his price on his own goods, irrespective of the situation. And also, it's just go on and on and on and on. So I think where I see the government stepping in is it coming as an intervention to ensure that this situation don't go in the vicious cycle. I don't know if I've spoken too many economics.
No, I think that's actually just the point. I mean, it will definitely still make the whole price inflation, it will still bring about price inflation again. So yes, the right approach is for the government to, you know, come into the picture and see how to regulate some of these things. Because even if they decide to produce 5 instead of 10, their original production rate, right? They will still want to get the money of 10 by increasing the price again, because things are it's crazy. So at the end of the day, we just need this intervention from the government to see how they can get involved and regulate all of these things. These decisions are being made by man, to be honest. And they can definitely see how to go about it. So yes, we are calling on governments to do this, to intervene and seek ways to tackle this issue of price inflation. Because whether or not the Naira is falling or rising, we still experience things like this. So it's all about the government coming into the picture and doing something about it. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that. I really just like arguing a lot. So that's why move it to that direction. I am also of the opinion that at some point, as a result of all of these challenges, there must have been like a decline of some sort in the demand for agricultural products due to the currency, you know, challenges. So take, for example, rice. Rice is a major staple here in Nigeria. And with the increase in price, I'm sure that it is really becoming a struggle, a big struggle for many to purchase rice. And this can definitely impact sales and revenue of the farmers. So what are your thoughts on this? Have you been impacted by all of this? As your sales reduce, as your revenue reduce, mainly because of all of these challenges?
So let me take, for example, you said rice, and I was in the market yesterday, and it's so funny that people have changed their consumption pattern. The behavioral pattern of their consumption has changed because of a response to the prices of what is happening. Now, prices of rice has gone up. A module that was selling for maybe 1-2 before has gone to almost 2-5. And which is very crazy. So you find a family that was maybe eating one modu in a week, we have to tell them that, hey guys, my guys, family, I would have to say maybe we'll drink gari and supplement it and buy half modu. You get my point? It affects the sales of our product. I told you as yesterday, I was speaking with my farmer's friend, and he was telling me that, hey, he has 7 tons of rice. People are not buying because even the processor has not even sold off all his products he has in the market. And so as I said, it's a virtuous cycle. One end is stalled, one of the consumers are no more buying, it's going to affect the other back end. And it's really affecting the demand because people are changing their consumption pattern. Even to the gari, I can tell you, I was telling someone a few weeks ago, and I was saying, hey, do you know that dollar affected gari? Yes, it affected gari because it's a virtuous cycle. The cost of fueling has increased. The cost of diesel has increased. The cost of production, the chemical used to farm these things has increased. So it's spill effect on all these things, and it really affects us. And it's painful. The farmer as is more getting more impoverished. The consumer there is getting more hunger, and it's just a painful situation. And I think this is still a call back again for the government to come and intervene. I think government should understand that we don't need that support every time. We just need you to intervene at one point or the other in situations like this.
Okay, thank you for sharing your thoughts. So that means we are going to start having let me not say what I want to say. We'll start having questions and malnourish people because I mean, imagine if you're not having good balanced diet because a household can no longer eat this and that. I mean, it's crazy.
Exactly.
It's crazy. I mean, this is our major food here in Nigeria. I don't think there's a household that doesn't eat rice. I don't think I go for it without eating rice.
But let me even tell you, I was kids, how was the scenario is now. So it's a popular saying in Nigeria, yes, that Gary is the last hope of the common man. I don't know if you know about that.
Oh yes, I really don't know why.
Yes. But do you know that Gary now is even the is not even more the hope of the common man. I'm telling you as I speak now, Gary, a cup before we were buying a cup or a tin cup. They were buying a cup for at least maybe 100 naira, 150. A cup of Garri now is going to 500 naira.
It's becoming a luxury.
A luxury. And even sugar that people put it to get it sweet, at least to get your Garri sweet, sugar is now going. Sugar is almost 200 naira. And you can't even, if you put somebody was a friend of mine, I think I visited somebody yesterday and he said, oh, I see you are drinking Garri. He said, yes, so that's what. The Nigerian government I want us to do. And he puts 100 naira sugar. 100 sugar, he could not even feel the impact of the 100 naira sugar, which is a very painful situation. And I think people that were eating 101 before, now is even eating maybe 010. I don't know if you understand that. 010. Don't eat in the morning. Just try to get something very strong in the afternoon and get something. Don't eat something at night and wait till the next morning again. It's just a very pitiful situation. Hunger issue and even malnutrition, which is a food crisis and which is I think is going to be a very, very serious crisis ongoing if the government don't intervene.
Yes, I can definitely agree to that. The government has to intervene because this is a food crisis. This is really a food crisis. I think the World Food Program actually made a statement about this already to say Nigeria is already going through food crisis. And this is something very, very, very challenging. For those that can't use sugar, maybe they can use salt. But
Maybe you don't know the price salt now. Damn, everything has gone up massively, I can tell you. So people are really resorting.
don't know.
Let me even tell you another worst case scenario. Pure water that was just maybe 15 naira before. Now, pure water in some area is 14 naira or 15 naira. One. So what are people using now? People are just resorting to boiling water or just taking water from the well. That was the scenario is.
Yeah,
Water, pure water.
that's true. And you know, most of our water, we can't really say it's really healthy or clean for drinking. I don't subscribe to it. I remember growing up some years ago where my parents were like, we've been drinking too much of pure water, bottled water, less. Other people are drinking this tap water. They treat it. We say, okay, fine, mommy and daddy. Then, I mean, we're much younger. And then we drank, to be honest, the whole house. We're all sick. And
Wow.
I mean, it didn't even take 2 days for us to switch. So I can't really bank on the water now to say, hey, you can drink the tap water. And I even saw something around the new packaging for pure water. So if you want the one for 20 naira, you can actually go for that one. It's looking like that ice cream pack. Do you know the way they sell ice cream? The ones they put on the wall.
Yeah.
Those what's it called? Those fan milk kind of packaged ice cream. Now we have, I think they're now doing
Yeah,
that.
crazy.
That's right. It's crazy. This is becoming hunger strike. This is becoming
I'm telling you, it's
global.
going to be hunger war. Call it
But
hunger war.
I
The
hope
food
we
war.
don't get there. We won't get there. So yes, once again, we are calling on the government to see how to intervene. And even try to support, even if it's relief materials as well, because trust me, people need this. People are fainting. It's crazy. People are fainting. Yes, on the road, pregnant women. I have to make a podcast on this. People are fainting on the road. Pregnant women are out there, no food to eat, and it's a lot. I my heart really goes out to a lot of people out there that could barely afford a 3 square meal, and now this whole issue, then that is really a call for concern.
Yeah, call to action to the government.
And I really hope they listen. I really hope they listen and do something about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, amidst the challenges that we face, we must ensure that the business keeps moving, right? Just like you said at the first question I asked you. These businesses, I mean, they're running a business and they must continue to stay in business regardless. So meaning that for you to stay in business, you have to implement some strategies to, you know, help you mitigate the effects of the currency challenges on your business. Maybe you've implemented some strategies that you would want to share with people. I mean, because not so many are exposed to information, not so many are exposed to ideas, strategies that they can implement to boost their businesses, because many businesses are folding up and we have so much SMEs that are in the agricultural sector. And seeing them folding up is not what we want. This is not what we want to see. So maybe you've implemented some strategies that you've seen playing major role in your business. Maybe you can share so that they can see and learn and implement some of these strategies as well, because we are all working to transform the agricultural sector. And we're also working to, you know, make income for ourselves, for our families, and a lot more. So please do share if you have something for us. Thank you.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's as simple as those who want to plan early. And I think I'm someone that goes to the field almost every day. I tell you, I'm in Niger State as I speak with you and coming from the field. And what I've realized is that if you want to do 2024 farming, start planning right now. Start buying those chemicals right now. Don't buy it when the demand is more. Don't buy it when the demand is more than the supply. Buy it right now. Buy it in January. Store those products. Buy your chemicals. Stock it in large quantity. Plan yourself for the whole year. Say, oh, I want to do 10 hectares this year. I'm going to need certain numbers of chemicals, because the prices of the country will keep on increasing its prices. Dollar will still become fluctuating. People will still keep on complaining of this. Yes, we are saying that a downward slope in the dollar price, but hey, people have bought goods when dollar was expensive. So just buy your goods right now. Buy your fertilizer. Keep it right now. And for the agribusiness people, buy those things you need to do. Buy it right now. For mechanization, it's very hard for someone to peg a price right now, but try to speak with your mechanization service provider, get that tractor service provider, get him right now and tell him that, oh, can we peg a price at this certain price? Can we start planning for it? You might not be able to buy diesel now because those are very, very variable stuff. You cannot buy because they are very explosive, but products, at least do 70% of your buying right now. Another strategy I tell people for me is if you want to go into you also buy your seed early. Buy your seed early because prices will keep on skyrocketing. If you want to buy it, you should have the best time you should have bought all your inputs right now should have been yesterday. That's one of the best advice I will give you. Secondly, also for people that are into commodity trading, hey, I will advise you also. Start ensuring that you buy your product, get that export market ready, get that that market ready, the people that will be able to buy your products, get that LPO right now, get everything as soon as possible. And also, I'm talking also for the government, because I think we can see some state governments already planning well, even ahead of the 2024 planning season. You could see what the Niger State government have done. You could see what the Ekiti State government is doing. And from other states, you can see what Lagos State is doing also in respect of the agricultural ecosystem. One thing I encourage people to do is that work with your government, reach out to the ADP officers, reach out to the to your local government ADP officers. They have quite a number of information that can help you also for your land preparation and also your input purchase. Join a cooperative, which is also very important because it allows you to be able to save costs efficiently and effectively. And I think those are the few strategies I'm implementing. I'm trying to see how I can get more people cluster farming, more cluster operations. Let us buy the inputs today and not tomorrow, today. Let's ensure that we don't wait till tomorrow. And I think those decisions will also save us a number of costs. Because if you wait tomorrow, the cost will increase. And I think those are strategies we can. And also for government, let me quickly round off with that. For the government, please, if you want to support farmers, please don't come out there and just say you are giving two bucks. We are no more doing agriculture. We are doing agribusiness. Every farmer is a business person. Every person involved in the agricultural system is a business person. So we are doing agribusiness. So please, let's do the real support by saying, hey, farmer, we want to transact business. We know you're going to sell this product at this end. These are the off-takers that are ready to, we're going to create an ecosystem that these are off-takers. These are people that are ready to support you. These are the financial institutions that are ready to support you. These are the mechanization institutions that are ready to support. Create an ecosystem that is available for the farmer to access and also for the farmer to sell the products. Access to finance, access to machineries, access to mechanization, and access to market. If government can create that access, I think people are going to come into agriculture and also insecurity, solve the problem of insecurity in those states, make people farmers secured, make it as your paramount call for the month, that for the year, that 2024, we want a farmer secured year. And I think if that's do that, food prices will come down and we all enjoy, the food war will not happen. And I think that's my call to action. That's, hope I answered those questions right.
Yes. You actually cleared my doubt because I was going to bring back the whole preparation planning that you mentioned earlier. I mean, for farmers to plan early, buying their inputs and what they need for the farming season. I mean, if you want to look at it, not so many can really afford it, right? So it's a challenge. And the fact that there is little or no access to finance, especially for our women farmers, right? So this is actually a challenge for them to, you know, wanting to plan ahead of time. So just like you said, they could actually connect with their local government, they could connect with their ADPs, they could connect with and if the government can really come in to provide, you know, access to finance, access to markets, then I think it would be amazing. And again, for our female farmers, our women farmers, if the financial institutions as well can really,
reduce the interest rates.
Yes, they should be intentional about the products that they create for women. Because, you know, women face different challenges. Now, you're talking about having them prepare ahead of time, prepare their lands, prepare their inputs and the rest, but many of them barely have access to these lands. Many of them barely have access to finance for them to, you know, make that preparation ahead of time. So this is not just a call to the government alone. This is also a call to, you know, financial institutions. They should be able to create product that can fit the women. Because in my last episode with the country manager, Grace Folsen, I mean, she shared amazing things about all of this. I mean, considering she worked with financial institutions, with women for their media project in Bauchi. Now, their major call to action was to have the financial institutions to create products that can be targeted at women. Because many of the women, they still had to bring their husbands to get access to finance, which is crazy. So it doesn't help them to, you know, plan ahead of time. And even if they bring their husbands to, you know, get this finance, get the money that they need for their farming operations and the farm season, they don't even get the full money because, hey, the husband is taking it. So, well, all of this still boils down to gender equality and the rest. But I really think that we can definitely see ways to, you know, fix this. The government can really intervene. So please, if you have something more to share about this, just please do well to share something more.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting podcast for and an opportunity for women that's going to be listening, especially young females. Processing of your bakeries, processing of different things, even you adding doing your plantain chips, you doing your peanuts. So there's a funding I know I have access to, and I believe so. If you're here, you could reach out to Sharon, and she could connect you back to me. So the fund size is a very small fund size. We believe that we're doing it very little. So yes, someone that is doing pop-off, doing donuts, doing all those small things, planted chips. You ask them, their turnover is around 100,000 to 50,000 to 200,000. So there's a fund size of within the ticket of 50,000 to 100,000. So if you need it, it's a revolving loan. It's not a free interest. When I say free interest, zero interest, but it's a revolving loan. So the one bill, if somebody needs a ticket size of the one between 1 million to 5 million, there is an interest attached to it. But you must be a female and you must be also processing, and you tell us what you're doing as simple as ABC. Just tell us what you're doing as simple as ABC. We'll visit your business and the fund will be disbursed to you. For the one between 50 to 100,000 naira, it's a loan. It's not grant. It's a loan. But it will be what between, it's zero interest. And I think it's an opportunity for female people, female agribusiness processing, more especially the agribusiness processing people, to harness this opportunity. So I think that's the key opportunity I just need to drop. It's an opportunity for anybody that listens to this podcast.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I will definitely get in touch with you to, you know, put that information out there for people to see, not just here on the podcast. And of course, they can reach out to you. So thank you so much once again for joining the show. We have come to the end of today's episode, and I really hope that you learn from this and start applying it in your business to make sure that your business continues running. You don't want to pack up just because of the challenges that we face currently, because of course you'll see and experience more. That is what the business world looks like. So what we do is to help you bring out solutions that can help you remain in business. And that is what we are doing through the podcast. So thank you once again for joining in, Jerry. And to our listeners out there, I hope you've learned something from this episode. And I can't wait to bring another beautiful episode your way, still on this topic. So get set, guys. It's really going to be an amazing one. So have a lovely time. And remember, subscribe, follow, and share. Have a wonderful time. Thank you.